What a great day it is. After the first service, I didn't think anybody would be here at 11 o'clock. By the looks of things, it's a good thing we had a 9:30 service. There's not a whole lot of seats left. It's good to have you here. What a great group that was. I said, they're going to be full up. We'll have to do something else. But if this keeps up, I don't know. Pastor Ron, you're going to have to preach a Saturday night service. Or we'll satellite over to the youth center. We got just some great things going. I brought a little toy with me this morning to talk about. It's a Garmin. My staff bought me a Garmin for Christmas. You know what a Garmin is, right? It's a lady who tells you where to go. Really? That was not on the top of my list. Those of you that know, when I go on road trips, I like the sense of adventure of not knowing where I'm going. Some of you have been on some of those trips. They bought me this, and they said, here you go. What a blessing this will be to you. And those following me. It is no longer the blind leading the blind. It's okay. I'm okay with that, because this morning as we talk about our message, this toy comes in handy. I thought I should have plugged it in, and it would have been interesting to type in heaven and hear how this gal tries to figure out how to tell me to get there. I went to Philadelphia. We took a group of 40 of us. We just were gone over New Year's break. And I've been there before, but not with a Garmin. And so we plugged everything in, said, this is the way you go. You know, this beautiful voice, she says, this is, you know, turn here, go through here. We get on the Ohio Turnpike, and we drive for a little while, and we stop at one of those pay tolls. It's a toll road. And they said, that'll be $10.50. And I'm thinking, lady, really? You can pay $10.50 to drive a few miles on a toll road in Ohio. I drove 4 more miles. Now, there were several vehicles with us. We drove a few more miles. $4.50 at the next toll. But we were leaving Ohio, and I was happy to do that. And then she said, take the Pennsylvania Turnpike. So we got on that. We got to the end of the Pennsylvania Turnpike, and we pulled up to the toll thing to pay our toll. $38 times 4 vehicles. I said, really? Is there no other way to Philadelphia? There is if you want to go down to Florida, come up through Myrtle Beach, stop somewhere near Las Vegas. Oh, wait, that's without the Garmin. That's where I was going. I've been to Philadelphia before. 7 years ago, I took a youth group, and we did a leadership retreat to Philadelphia. And I did not have a Garmin with me. I went on my own. And as we pulled into over the bridge, and it said, welcome to New Jersey, the kids went, you're lost again. I said, yeah, but isn't this great? You do this every trip. So someone decided to buy me directions. Now, I'll have to say this. After spending about $300 on tolls out and back, I didn't really appreciate Miss Garmin here telling me where to go. And I think a lot of people live that way in their lives. Nobody really wants to have a backseat driver or a dash driver that says, this is how you should go. Those of you guys that are married, you're probably used to this, right? Oh, you're in trouble. That was the time you don't raise your hand. God bless you, brother. That was a rhetorical question, but it's going to be more than rhetorical when you go home today. We have people in our lives trying to tell us. Today we're talking in the last part of our series on heaven, the fourth part of the greatest story ever. We talked about the creation. We talked about the fall. We talked about the rescue, and this is the last part of the reward. Who gets to go to heaven? Well, whoever can find it. Well, who's telling you how to get there? I heard Oprah Winfrey a few years ago on her TV say, well, heaven is the same place for every religion. It is the center hub of the spokes of a wheel. And every religion leads to the same heaven, to the same God. And I thought, okay, well, that's one person's opinion. I had a gentleman that came to church. He's never returned. This was a while ago, and we were in the foyer. And he says, Pastor, I really enjoyed the service. I really enjoyed the music. And this is a great church. It's my first time here. I said, well, that's great. It was good to have you here. He says, you know, your church is like every other church. I thought, well, yes, you know, we believe in the Bible. We believe in Jesus Christ, our Savior. He says, You know, every religion's all the same. You know, we all believe the same thing, whether you're Muslim or Buddhist or Confucius. And he said that, and I said, we're in the foyer, and this isn't the place. In the foyer, you know, when you're leaving church, you're on your way out. And if the pastor stops you for a few seconds, like, okay, good to see you, pastor, nice. I think I'm supposed to tell him that was a nice sermon. Okay, nice job, buddy. And you make your way out. We get about 30 seconds, and I thought, there's a lot of folks waiting, but I can't let this go. I can't help it. And he said, all religions are the same. You're just like all the other churches. I mean, we're all the same. I said, sir, actually, I disagree with you. He said, what? I said, we're actually, in fact, the opposite of that. As a Christian, I'm the opposite of every religion in the world. And every religion in the world actually have one thing in common. But as a Christian, that one thing in common is the exact opposite that makes Christianity the only religion that actually believes this. He said, what is that? I said, every religion in the world believes that it's up to me to get to the next level. Whether it's Islam, and somehow by all the works and the acts I do, it depends on whether I'll get 70 virgins or may even make it to paradise. Or whether it's Buddhism, and the better I live, the higher my next life in reincarnation will be. Nirvana, all of the different things, Ekankar, it doesn't matter. All of the religions have the same premise. It's the better person I am, the better my afterlife will be. And Christianity is the exact opposite. It has absolutely nothing to do with how good or how bad I am. You guys are awful quiet. And he just looked at me, but there's all these people in the foyer, and they heard him say that. And what was I going to say? Yes, we're just like everyone else. And the garment came on, and I said, actually, God will never love me. No matter how bad I am, God will never love me any less. And no matter how good I am, God will never love me any more. Through Jesus Christ, God loves me. And it has nothing to do with what I've done or not done. It has everything to do with what Jesus Christ has done. That's what gets me to heaven. That's the difference. So many people are trying to earn their salvation. I don't do good deeds to get saved. Because I'm saved, I do good deeds. Listen, because I'm in love, I do things that I normally wouldn't do. I write poetry. I cook breakfast in bed. I do little things. And you did those things. That's because you're in love. You don't do those things to somehow earn that love. Love comes first, and then the deeds come afterwards. And so he just kind of looked at me and says, oh, okay. And I don't think I was probably as, hopefully, as vocal as I was this morning, but I want to make sure that we're crystal clear. Not all dogs go to heaven. The Bible says not everybody's going to heaven. In fact, in Luke, the Bible says this. We'll pull up this verse for you. We did this in the first service. Jesus Christ, in, I believe it's Luke chapter 7, is talking to his disciples. And he brings out this clear verse. Is that right? Am I in the right place? Do we have that up? There it is. Enter through the narrow gate. Jesus says, the way to heaven is a narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. I think everybody wants this super easy pathway that's wide, and everybody's going there. It's easy. Listen, I didn't want to go on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. It was costly. There's a lot of people that don't want to go to heaven because it's costly, so they're trying to find other ways there. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. If that's true, that's sad. That means people aren't really looking to go to heaven. People are just trying to find an easy way to live life. And somewhere we all just kind of, without the directions in our lives, we just hope that someday we'll find it. Listen, just don't end up in New Jersey, okay? I know you're looking for heaven. Don't end up in the wrong place because you're trying to figure out yourself. God gives us direction. And that's the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, Jesus is speaking, and he said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You want to get to heaven? A lot of people are trying to get to heaven. A lot of people aren't sure how to get there. I heard a great, great story. I've got to share this with you. And this week, I was going through, and there's a woman who was on an airplane. She's reading her Bible. And you know, if you've ever flown, you're reading along, you're kind of minding your own business. Well, the guy sitting across the aisle behind her notices she's reading the Bible. And he's looking, and he knows she's reading the book of Jonah. Jonah, a story about a guy who was swallowed by a fish. Are you serious? He was swallowed for 3 days, and then he was regurgitated out on the shore. And he's looking at this, and he says to her, excuse me, I couldn't help. Are you reading the book of Jonah? And she says, well, yes, I am. You actually believe that stuff? She says, well, yes, I do. Wait a minute. Really? I mean, you believe that a man was swallowed by a fish for 3 days underwater, lived, and then was spit out. You believe that? She goes, well, absolutely. He said, how in the world could you be so simple-minded as to believe something like that in the Bible? How do you know it's true? And she says, well, you know, maybe one day when I die and I get to heaven, I'll walk up to Jonah and I'll talk to him and I'll ask him. And he says, oh, you... Okay, so Jonah, the story about this fish, this guy's in heaven. You think that this guy who lied about being swallowed by a fish is going to be... What if you get to heaven and you find out he's not... What if you find out he's in hell? She said, well, then you can ask him. Everybody's got their ideas on how to get to heaven. Everybody wants to know, I want to go to heaven. Listen, everybody's talking about heaven, but ain't everybody going, is the old gospel song. There's a lot of people talking about heaven. And this morning, I want to make sure I'm as clear as I've ever been about how to get to heaven. So the book of Revelation says, it is by grace. There was a woman who... or a guy who died, and he's standing before the pearly gates. He's standing before the pearly gates, and he sees St. Peter. He says, Peter, I'm in heaven. I made it. And Peter says, it's kind of crowded. So we've decided that we're going to give a little test because, I mean, it's really crowded up here, and there's more and more. So we're going to give a little test before we let you in. He says, what's that? He goes, if you can score 100 points, we'll let you in. He goes, oh, okay. Now, what do you mean? He goes, for every good thing you've done, we'll give you some points. He goes, oh, great. He said, well, I tithe to my church every Sunday. And Peter says, great, I'll give you 5 points. And the guy thought, 5 points? Kind of thought giving money to the church would get me more. He says, you know what? I worked in the nursery with those screaming kids for 5 years. And Peter looks at him and says, great, I'll give you 2 points. 2 points? I volunteered and went to Africa and built a school. Not a problem. I'll give you 1 point. And the guy looks at me and says, you're crazy. This is crazy. At this rate, nobody will get into heaven except by the grace of God. Bingo. Come on in. You see, we're trying so hard to earn our salvation. We need to understand it is by grace and grace alone. Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says very clearly, it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. It is by grace. By grace that you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is a gift from God. You see, I didn't do anything to earn my salvation. Christ did everything to earn my salvation. And it's through him that I get grace. Grace is very important. Not all dogs go to heaven, so you better get grace. Who's getting in? It is those who have grace. I'm going to be really clear here. I was in the first service, and a man in the first service, a gentleman that's new to the church, came up to me afterwards. He says, Pastor, today's the first day of my life that I ever prayed that prayer. I became a Christian today, this morning. And here's what it is. I told them the same thing I'm going to tell you. If you've never done what Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 say, you are not a Christian. Okay? Well, I thought, who you say I'm not a Christian? I'm not. The Bible says, now here it is. Everybody's talking about heaven, and they've got all these different ideas. But here's who's going to heaven. Here's who's a Christian. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart you believe and are justified, and with the mouth that you confess and are saved. I meet people all the time that say, wait a minute, I believe. I know you believe. Listen, believing in Jesus does not make you a Christian. And that might mean some news to you today. This could be different to you. Believing in Jesus does not make you a Christian. Because the Bible says that even the demons believe in Jesus, James chapter 3, and shudder. I believe in our world today, demons have a greater fear of God than most humans. Let me say that again. I believe the demons have a greater fear. They know the truth about who Jesus is. It does not make them a Christian because they believe. It says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, then you're saved. In other words, if my son were outside this door this morning, and he's standing out on the sidewalk, and I say, oh, hey, there's my son, Spencer. My son is outside there. I see him. Do you guys, and I would ask you, and you'd say, yes, we see him. He's standing outside. Well, we see him. Well, do we have the Son? No, he's outside. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me." And so I would have to go over and say, well, I can hear the knocking. I can hear the knocking. I believe in the knocking. He's standing there. But until I go over and I open that door and say, come on in, he's not inside the building. You see, to bring Jesus Christ off the porch and into your heart, you have got to invite him with your mouth. You can't just believe in your heart. Those two things have to work together. I meet people all the time who says, well, I believe. Well, I believe too. I believe in the devil. That doesn't make me a Satanist. I believe in Christ, but I also believe that God raised him from the dead, and I have confessed with my mouth that he is the Lord and Savior of my life. I said one day, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come on in to the living room. He came right in the living room of my house, and he took over. Because when you get him on the couch, he doesn't sit on the couch very long. He's not a couch potato. He gets up and he starts going to the closet. He's like, what's in this room? He goes over to the bedroom door. What's in? Oh, shut that door. Then he looks at the attic, goes, what's up there? Oh, you don't want to go up there. Whatever you do, please don't go up there. And he says, well, we will one of these days. And then he starts going down into the basement. And the next thing you know, he's asking you to sign over the deed to your house. And most people go, you can come in the living room, but you can't own the house. It's mine. And God wants to do a home makeover in your life. And if you let God have a hold of your life, he will change you. I am not the same person I was before I came to Christ. I was hopeless. I was empty in my heart. I used to get on a 10-speed bike and ride all over the place just to find friendship. I did drugs. I had alcohol. I had all the things in my life that I thought would make me happy because I had the American dream. You know, go get money, get a job, do these things. I mean, I was making money. I was doing those things. I was going to college. But in my heart, the Bible says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet forfeits his soul? And in my heart, I was empty. When I invited Christ to come into my house was full. And I want you to know, if you want to take a tenant, you want a boarder in your life, you ought to have Jesus come take a bedroom at your house. He will change everything. And he changed my bedroom. My bedroom became honorable. He changed my life, and my life became honorable. He changed my thoughts, and my thoughts became honorable. He changed my joy, and my heart became full. He took over the house, and he's completely done a remodel. The house is a little bigger than it used to be, but that's because we have the Holy Spirit in here too, and he needed a lot of room. And I figure by the time I'm 65 or 70, we're going to expand. You say, well, you ought to be healthy. I mean, if you're a Christian, you got to take care of the temple of the Holy Spirit. I do take care of the temple, but I know this. God's given us one life. I like food. I like life, and I'm going to die of something. So you eat your, it's like the old man. His poor wife fed him that grain bread and stuff, starchy stuff, because his health, and they died. They died. They got to heaven, and Jesus is walking them through heaven, shows them their mansion. He's going, you got to be kidding. That's ours? He said, you bet. You sent me some good funds to build this place. He says, wow. Takes him around back, shows him a lake. He says, whose lake is that? That's your lake. And on the back, there was a golf course. And this man loved it. He goes, there's a golf course. And he looked at his wife. He said, you mean I could have been here a lot sooner, and you made me eat all those bran muffins? It is by grace. It is simply by God's love, and you receiving that into your life. That's what makes you saved. It is grace. No dogs allowed. The Bible says, and on the outside there were these dogs. That's what your Bible says. And those dogs can't come in. You guys know what dogs are. We know dogs. I mean, my daughter says, dogs aren't going to heaven, Dad? You said last week horses were in heaven. And I said, honey, it's not dogs. We're talking about those vials, those murders, and the Bible lists them. So I said, if God wants you to have your dog in heaven, I'm sure God can recreate your dog in heaven to know you. I'm sure if God creates those things for this earth, and heaven is so much better. I said, honey, you don't have to worry. And she got a big smile on her face, and I thought, but you're picking up the dog bombs. I wonder if that's going to happen in heaven. Anyway, let's move on. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be crude. No dogs allowed. Well, we know what kind of dogs aren't allowed in heaven. We know what kind of people don't belong in heaven. I mean, you guys have seen people that don't need to go to heaven. I mean, some of them are your neighbors and or people who've treated you bad. I mean, we know the kind of people that shouldn't be in heaven. We're pretty good at prejudging people. We're pretty good at going, that person would never go to church. Go talk to them. Oh, them? No. I remember I was in Florida. I was at a youth pastors convention, and there were about 1,000 of us, and we're at the Orlando Convention Center, beautiful hotel, gigantic atrium, palm trees outside, several swimming pools. Sounds like we ought to just go there right now. Loving it. And I was there the week after I did a lesson where I was trying to tell the students not to conform and be like everyone else, peer pressure. And so one Wednesday night, I showed up in the strangest outfit for youth group. I had dyed and highlighted my hair. I had all these different color highlights going. I mean, most of it were kind of a blondie, bleached out thing. And then I had these earrings, these huge earrings. The first time I did that with my wife, I came home. I think actually I had it in the nose. It's a magnet. I said, look what I did with the youth. She didn't talk to me for about 5 hours. I mean, she's like, you don't need another hole in your head. You already leak. We're not much of an earring family, okay, for the guys. I mean, if they want to, you know, knock yourself out. It's just something that, and youth pastors know this. So it was ironic because I've got these earrings, these magnet huge earring studs on. I've got my hair bleached out, and then I got all these tattoos. And I had these fake tattoos, you know, and I had the thorns around my arm. And so I still had it all when we went the next week to this youth pastors convention. So there we are. Well, we're on a lunch break. And we're down eating in this Subway-type cafeteria in this huge atrium of this gigantic hotel convention. And there's these ladies there, and I could hear them talking about the Lord. They were at a Baptist convention for women. And so I'm hearing them, and I'm standing back there with my plate. I've got my tank top on with my tat. I've got my earrings in and my bleached-out hair. And I'm standing, I said, hey, so what are you ladies here for? And the lady standing nearest me did one of these to her friends, like, and she did one of these. I said, wait a minute, this isn't my congregation. You can't treat me like that. And she just went, pfft. I said, no, really, I'm curious. I heard you guys talking. What are you talking about? She goes, yeah, as if you want to know. I'm thinking, well, here's the Lord, you know, they got the Lord. They're having this huge convention. She's looking at my earrings and my tat, because see, I'm one of those dogs on the outside, because we all prejudge people on who is and who isn't. And I'm standing there going, really? I said, actually, I really would like to know. I heard you talking about Jesus. Would you tell me about Jesus? I want to know him. And this lady said, and her friends finally turned and they're engaged, and she looks, she goes, oh yeah, you know what? Knock it off. I know your kind. You're just trying to make fun of us. I said, no, really, I want to know about Jesus. And she said, whatever. You got to love that when your kids do that. Whatever. And I'm standing there thinking, Lord, this is really happening. I'm a Christian. I really do want to know. She goes, yeah, right. I'm standing there going, I am a Christian. In fact, I said to her, I'm a youth pastor. And she goes, you know what? This isn't funny. You can just knock it off. I said, okay, I got to convince her. I reached in my wallet. I pulled out. I have credentials. I have a little laminated thing that talks about, and it's signed by the general superintendent of the denomination saying, Mitch Olson is an ordained minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pulled that out, got it out of my wallet. And I said, see, I'm an ordained minister. And she goes, I'm not making this up. She said, well, anybody can make one of those. Really, is that what you guys do when you're not here at church? You're making up ordination papers for yourself? Is this really what the average human being is doing? Going, I want to be a fake pastor. And I'm going, I'm a pastor. She was so mad. Now I'm trying to be adamant. I said, do you want me to decline a verb in Greek? I can do the tenses in Greek. I said, do you want me to do something in systematic theology? I can do hamartiology in the blood and the sacrifice of Christ in hermeneutics. And she said to me, leave us alone. And I thought, I'm one of those dogs. And we all know all dogs don't go to heaven. But I think you're going to be surprised what mutts are there. because the Lord shows no respecters of persons. And it has, listen, I'm going to say it as clear as I can. I don't care if you're white or black, Jew or Gentile, man or woman, gay or straight. If you take Christ as your Savior and you confess Him with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead and confess your sins, you are going to heaven. I want to be clear because so many people pick who can go to heaven. And they grab their pick. Get signs, and they pick a sin and another sin. Oh, well, you know, homosexuals aren't going to heaven. Oh, you know, murders aren't going to heaven. Says who? Good luck talking to David, who's in heaven, and he was an adulterer and a murderer. You know, it's funny how people pick dogs that they don't like. I think it's terrible. I think sin is sin, and God hates sin, but He certainly loves us unconditionally with all of His heart. And if you really want to know who's not getting into heaven first, go back and read Revelation chapter 21 when it talks about the murderers and the perverts and the liars and the adulterers. And you look at the very first person that's listed in your Bible, it is the coward. The coward is the first person that will not enter into heaven. And so when I've not seen people picking around, we hate cowards, we hate cowards. You don't hear that. I think it's cowardice to do what some people do rather than have an honest conversation with a human being, whether they're involved in lying, cheating, stealing, whatever it is. But all dogs, you're right, all dogs don't go to heaven. But I'll tell you who does. Anyone who says in John 14, 6, Jesus said very clearly, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. That is as clear as it can get. And you say, that's narrow. Yes, it is. And very few go through the narrow path. And if you say, I don't want that, well, God bless you. Let me know how that goes. Let me close it out this way. It is to be kenneled. The Bible says in Revelation, and look in your Bible, it says right there in Revelation chapter 22, Jesus very clearly says in verse 16, I've sent my angel to give you this testimony for the church. You can't kennel heaven. I can't believe it's just barely 12 o'clock and we're almost done. I think I'll just wait for half an hour here. You know what's amazing? The Bible says, the kingdom of heaven is upon you. You can't stop it. It's here. Who's going to heaven? God is trying to show us heaven all the time. Where have you seen parts of heaven? The day I got married, that beautiful bride in her veil and gown. Wow. Thank you, God. Because he redeemed me. And he let me see something that was so far beyond what I deserved or even imagined. See, that's what grace is and mercy. And I thought, if heaven can get better than this, wow. I remember seeing heaven when all of my children, two by cesarean and three by natural birth, were born. And in every one of those instances, holding those little squeamish, wrinkled, with all the goop on them, they look like little Shar-Pei dogs. I saw all those little babies, you know. I was not looking at the wrinkles and the goop and that. I was holding that child with tears running down my face thinking, what a miracle. Something that didn't exist that's going to talk and think and dream and cry and laugh. Wow. Heaven. I see heaven when I walk through the mall and I see someone help someone out. I see heaven when I see someone take some food and give it to someone unconditionally. Heaven. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is upon you. Who's going to heaven? I am. And on the way, I'm going to take as many people with me as I can. I always tell our students, MBWA. Does anybody know what that is? MBWA. Someone shout it out. Yeah, I heard a few of them there.
Minister by wandering around. Do you know how much great stuff of heaven can be found when you just wander around? And trust me, I'm a wanderer. I had someone in first service said, my husband can relate to you. He's a wanderer. I can never find him. He's in heaven a lot. I think we can find it all the time. Jimmy V, and I've shared this before, Jimmy Valvano, who died of cancer in North Carolina State basketball, wonderful guy, the Jimmy V. He always said, and I say this all the time, you should, every day you should laugh, every day you should cry, and every day you should be moved to be inspired. And I try to live my life that way. Every day I love to laugh. Every day I love to cry. And every day I love to be inspired by life. I love to see heaven. Somebody sent me a video, and I'm going to set this up, and this is how we'll close it. I have to show this to you. A group of students, and my wife had this happen to us a little over a year ago. A group of students, there's a whole plane for AirTran. This was last week. They got stuck on the tarmac for 3 hours in their airplane. Mechanical problems. If you've ever flown, you know how frustrating that is. My wife and I did that. We got stuck for 4 hours on a thing. And so what we did was we just went back and started talking to the stewardess. And we're like, hey, can we do anything? This thing was just packed, you know, row here, middle row here. And she's on one side. The lady's like, yeah, here. And she just gives us boxes of stuff. And we're walking down the aisle. And we're just tossing out food to people. Here you go. Bless you. Here you go. They're going, do you guys work here? Nope. We're just here to bless you. And we're doing that. And I got a few pinches, which don't ever do that on a plane. Really, this stuff happened. People are joking around doing stuff. And she's like, hey, I need 3 more bags of peanuts and across the thing. I could use some of this. And we're just doing this. And people are laughing and we're having a great time. We get to the back and this stewardess, she goes, who are you guys? We started telling her about our church and about the ministries we're doing in Africa and Reverse Christmas. She started crying. She said, what's your name? And I said, Pastor Olson. She goes, I've heard of you, Pastor Olstein. I said, yes, you have. But it's Pastor, never mind. She's telling her friends, Pastor Joel Olstein was on our airplane, and he was serving peanuts to the crowd with his wife. I thought, only you, Lord, and the kingdom of heaven is upon you. These students, let me set this up, these students are on an airplane 3 hours, and the stewardess, and you'll see her in your picture, the stewardess finds out that there's a group of college students there, and they're on a choir trip, and said, hey, would you guys sing a song to entertain us? And they said, no, we don't want to offend a captive audience. Some people in here may not want that. And so the students asked everybody individually, they just went very kindly and said, do you mind if we sing a song? This is what happened. Wow. What's amazing about that is I read the blog below, and a lady that was on that flight said, I'm not a Christian, but now give me Jesus. She gave her life to the Lord on that airplane. What an awesome day. The kingdom of heaven is upon you. Who's going to heaven? A lot of people on that airplane. What's amazing about that group of students is those are students from Indiana Wesleyan University, from a college where a lot of our students go. I find that to be an incredible blessing, to be inspired. Don't miss out on heaven. The kingdom of heaven is upon you. Jesus said, today is the day of salvation. Accept him while he is near. And so this morning, would you stand with me? Accept him while he is near. I got a good laugh 3 days ago when that storm hit. I got a good laugh because Warren, Michigan was on the news. And they showed their bins, their huge salt bins, and they said, we have no salt for the storm. And I laughed. I mean, I laughed because underneath the city of Detroit, from Detroit to Cleveland, Ohio, is enough salt, they say, to last 1,000 years to take care of the entire world. Right below their feet, and they go, we don't have any salt. I wonder how many Christians or people in this world go, heaven is right here, and I'm missing it. And so I'm going to lead you in a prayer. If you've never prayed with your mouth, you believed in your heart, but you've never accepted the Lord, I'm going to ask you to pray this with me right now, just like in first service. Heavenly Father, I believe Jesus Christ is Lord. I confess with my mouth, forgive me my sins, come into my life, and be my Savior. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I'm going to invite you to let someone know today. And if you get a chance, come up and let my wife and I know to say, that prayer I prayed today, I meant it with my heart, and I received Christ today. I'm on my way. Give me Jesus. Amen? All right. Father, as we go, let this be our benediction. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can ask or even imagine, according to the power that is at work through Christ Jesus our Lord, to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.